Hello, and welcome to Blast Processing, the official podcast of PixelVerdict.com, hosted by our good friends at DVDVerdict.com. We are the official source for all things gaming, gadget, and gear related. I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. John Mercer. And I will be, we will be taking you through, all the news that's fit to not print but talk about online over the next, over the last week or so. And we'll talk a little bit about games we've been playing. You know the drill. Hey, you've been listening to us for how long now? We'll get things off and running with our typical opening sweep. Hey, John. What you been playing, huh?
It's been an uncharacteristically busy week for me, actually, on a gaming front.
Uncharacteristically my ass.
What, I don't get to play that much anymore, dude.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm married, I got a youngster.
Yeah, sure. I'm married, I got two.
Yeah, but you're a negligent monster.
Okay, well, that explains everything.
Let's see, well, I'm going to leave my big ones for the end, because I think you've been playing those, too, and we're going to get into some discussion time on that.
Okay.
So, last week, I picked up a PSN card.
Yeah?
And I decided to give this Hardcore Uprising game that all the Xbox Live jockeys have been raving about for the past month. I believe it was the launch title for the Xbox Live Arcade House Party, I think they called it.
I have no idea.
Well, it's, kind of like an unofficial Contra relaunch. We were talking about it our last episode when I got into that diatribe about Shattered Soldier.
What was it called again?
Hardcore Uprising.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. And, whenever you're looking at a relaunch of like an 8-bit series, there's always, you always got to ask the question, is it is it going to be as fun as it was back in the day? Because, I mean, you can't be addicted to nostalgia like that. You're never going to get that first high back again. The game is never going to play as good as the first time you played it.
You can't be a dick with nostalgia like that.
Yeah, right? So I just had to ask you, was the Contra crazy back off its meds, or is this a slice of nostalgia that should have stayed at the seniors' home?
Okay. What's the final outcome?
It was actually pretty enjoyable.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was just enough new gaming stuff added to it. Like, they threw in a much-needed double jump and a dash button.
So they defied the laws of physics on two occasions.
Exactly. Oh, there's also an air dash. So that's three.
Curse you, physics!
Come on, dude. Like, they're carrying a gun that must weigh 300 pounds.
Curse you, Sir Isaac Newton! Curse you, gravity! Curse you, rotation of the Earth!
But, it's just, it was a bit of fun. I mean, it's the bit of fun you'd expect for $14.99. It's hardly anything I would have gone out and paid full price for.
Okay, so this is a side-scrolling...
It's a side-scrolling shoot-em-up. It's pretty much Contra to the bone. You got your machine gun, you got your spread gun, your flamethrower, your laser, your grenade launcher.
Those all sound like teen implements of destruction, but do you think the price tag might have been a little bit in the realm of the extravagant?
I don't know, man. You're getting 8 levels, and my first playthrough on each of them was between 20 to 30 minutes.
Okay.
That's before, you get down the enemy patterns enough that you can constantly hold onto the right button to keep moving.
So for $14.99, you're getting about as many hours of enjoyment as you would out of, say, Homefront's single-player campaign, which costs $59.99.
Exactly.
Zing!
Exactly. And, I mean, it's masochistically difficult. You got 8 oppressive levels filled with cybernetic soldiers and boss monsters that defy the word colossal.
Cool.
Like, the things are absolutely enormous. It's probably... I actually liked it a bit better than Contra Hardcore for the Genesis, because I was never a big fan of that.
Nor me.
I'm not going to put it quite on the same level as Contra 3. But I mean, I look at Contra 3. Like, I haven't played Contra 3 since I had a Super Nintendo.
Contra 3 is still an awesome game.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm going to put it on this about the same level, maybe a little bit better than Contra 4 for the DS.
Okay, cool.
My two biggest complaints I had with it One, I thought it was incredibly unclassy on Konami's part to, want to offer three additional, cut three characters out of the game and expect you to pay an additional $250 for them.
Sounds pretty classy.
For each of them, yeah, that was pretty classless. And
stay classy, Konami.
I like Arc System Works. I liked Guilty Gear back in 2002. This is their weirdo art design just screams not Contra. Gone were the headband wearing muscle men fighting aliens and Terminator ripoffs. Instead, you got these paint by number anime characters that, while they're animated great and look great, they don't belong in Contra.
So this is an Arc System Works game?
Yep.
That pretty much assures that I will never ever play it.
It's an Arc System Works game, and you got the crazy metal soundtrack.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll pass.
But I'd put it above. I did have a good time with it. It's better than a lot of the stuff I've downloaded. Better than Scott Pilgrim was. It's one of the higher class downloadable titles for PSN or Xbox Live Arcade. But to me, that just shows how little faith I have in those games.
I won't get into that pissing match again, but suffice it to say, I generally find you see a little more innovation and a little more bang for the buck on PSN. I find Live is pretty much full of clones and that sort of thing,
you get a game like Braid or a game like Limbo, and then you get 6 months worth of guys crying me too, and they're not half the level designers.
Something like that, yeah. I don't know what it is about Live, but I generally find the innovation is really on the other side of the coin,
That being said, Shadow Complex was awesome.
Shadow Complex was pretty good. I mean, Shadow Complex was a game made by a bunch of people who played Super Metroid.
Yeah. And there's worse games to play. I was just glad to play Shadow Complex rather than playing Super Metroid for the 100th time. If I wanted to play Super Metroid.
Well, I still have a Super Nintendo if I want to play Super Metroid.
I, alas, do not have a Super Nintendo anymore.
That is sadness pie.
It is.
Anything else on the plate?
Well, I was crushingly disappointed by a shoot-em-up that was available on the PSN Japan import section.
Oh, okay.
A bunch of people saying, John, you like those old spaceship shoot-em-up games? There's one you got to play called Gaia Seed. Everyone says, it's one of the best ones ever made. It's one of the best ones ever made. And they actually repeated, like, Newton from Hercules. So, using what was left over my PSN card, I spent the last couple bucks and downloaded Gaia Seed.
See, generally speaking, I hate to break out that generalization paint roller again, but
yeah.
9 times out of 10... when you get a game that was released in one particular region and there's no real effort made to take it to any other region,
there's
typically a reason behind it.
Now, one reason, though, I was willing to give it the benefit of the doubt is it was a very early original PlayStation game.
Oh, okay.
And back in there were a bunch of good 2D games that never made it out of Japan and Europe. Because everyone was concentrating on getting those 3D games out, because that's what was selling at the time.
Yeah, well, understandably so.
Yeah, but no, Gaia Seed was Gaia Seed would have been a mind blowing game on the Super Nintendo.
Not on the PlayStation 1.
Not on the PlayStation, and certainly not after playing Einhander, which I put firmly above Radiant Silvergun as. Einhander's probably, in my opinion, the best shoot-em-up of all time.
Yeah, and it's certainly no Philosoma.
Oh, don't even start me on Philosoma. Or Philosoma. That was the one that had the weird 45-degree stages, wasn't it?
I believe so. I don't even remember. I'm just name-dropping shooters.
You don't even play shooters.
I'm a poser. I do so play shooters. I finished Axelay, goddammit.
Nobody finished Axelay.
I finished Axelay.
You're a goddamn liar.
Yeah, you keep thinking that.
You finished watching someone finish Axelay on YouTube. And let me see. That was last week. And my last two games I played during the week, and I was going to use this to segue into yours because I'm sure you played them both as well.
Mm-hmm.
Spent a bit of time with Dragon Age 2.
Woo!
And managed today, after some searching, to track down myself a copy of Crysis 2.
Woo!
Which is awesome pie.
Oh my god, yeah.
Yeah.
So, obviously you haven't seen much of Crysis 2 yet, I wouldn't imagine. What are your first thoughts?
Oh my god.
Fair enough. How about Dragon Age?
Sensory overload was Crysis 2.
That certainly sums things up. How about Dragon Age 2? Yeah.
And Dragon Age 2 was disappointment overload.
Yeah.
Not that I didn't like it, it's just I didn't like it as much as Dragon Age.
I understand. Yeah. I too.
It's a good game. You know, I'm going to recommend it to anyone who played the original as a rental and a possible purchase if you like it. But I didn't dig it as much as the first one.
And that's a fair argument. It is a fair argument. I believe I just broke hour 35 in Dragon Age 2.
So you're firmly in the purchase camp.
Oh, man, it is a fantastic experience and has been after the initial probably 2, maybe 3 hours of gameplay. Yeah, I'd even say probably 4. I gotta say, initial impressions were not amazing. I did find that the game kind of spun its wheels a little bit at the beginning. I did find that it was really slow to start. But they were building blocks. It was kind of baby steps towards a grander scheme. And I gotta say, I applaud BioWare for taking a ballsy move with it. Like, the big thing, I mean, you play any RPG, you play it for the storyline. And it's really easy to get involved in an epic fantasy RPG when in the opening minutes you're presented with, you know, a world in crisis, a quest, a problem to solve, you know, a villain. And generally speaking, no, Dragon Age 1 didn't have one particular, you know, villain that the audience could grasp onto other than Taron Logan, who was, you know, kind of a gray area character. And at the end, I mean, you could even have him in your party. He was kind of like Megas in Chrono Trigger. But the whole, like, the original Dragon Age, of course, fell squarely on that whole Lord of the Rings, World in Crisis, traditional fantasy. It was, you know, for all intents
and purposes. Big evil god needs put to its ass.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was, for all intents and purposes, it was by the numbers epic fantasy. It was awesome epic fantasy. I mean, Adam picked it as his game of the year for 2009, yeah. I mean, other than the fact that 2009 also brought us Demon's Souls and Assassin's Creed 2, it would probably be my game of the year as well. But my big problem with Dragon Age 2 going in was it didn't have that narrative drive early on. Like, it just didn't have that hook that, you know, it didn't have a clear-cut or interesting villain. It didn't have, you know, any kind of a mystery behind what was going on. It was just, you know, hey, we've got to get out of Lothering before it gets burned to the ground by the Darkspawn. However, it did really pick up once I got to Kirkwall, once I started discovering my other characters, all of that stuff. It really started to kind of hit its stride, and plots started to fall into place, and this is when I realized that, you know, I'm really not playing a traditional epic fantasy RPG. You know, if Dragon Age Origins was Lord of the Rings, then Dragon Age 2 is a Game of Thrones. You know, it's really a much more mature form of storytelling. It's much
You just totally crossed the line from geekdom to super nerddom.
Well, you know, that's it. That's all there is to it. I play RPGs, goddammit, you know.
Yeah. But, put on your bow tie.
But no, Dragon Age 2 plays a lot more with character dynamics. It plays a lot more with, you know, interpersonal narrative. There's a lot more about, like, just different political factions and interactions with different NPCs and other members of your own party. And the way they tie all that into the core gameplay is actually pretty brilliant. It's like having, you know, all the side quests and all the relationship angles and all the character interactions, all these, like, companion quests that you did in Knights of the Old Republic or Jade Empire or the original Dragon Age without the distraction of one big overarching journey of laying boot to evil god ass, you know? Like, it's like all of the side stuff without the core. And it kind of, in that regard, it kind of reminded me of the middle chapter, like the middle section of Mass Effect 2, in that, like, it is a little bit directionless, but everything you're doing still serves a purpose, you know?
Yeah.
But once again,
I kind of actually enjoyed the aspect of the story that it wasn't, it was another battle of that big war. It wasn't, you know, the main campaign against the Archdemon.
Yeah, yeah.
And it does take place in the same time frame, though, doesn't it?
It does for the first act. But first act. After the first act, well, I mean, the way it works,
I mean, I know it's 10 years.
Yeah, it is over 10 years, and the way that they tell it, you have that first little part of the game, the beginning, which I call the dull portion of the game, which is extremely boring. You get to Kirkwall, and then a year passes. The blight is over. All of the decisions that you made in the original Dragon Age are applied to the world of Dragon Age 2 at this point. You do hear some name drops. You do hear some references. Some of the characters pop up from Dragon Age Origins Awakenings, the expansion, which I thought was really cool. You do hear bits and pieces about the fates of some of the characters from the original Origins, but you're never given a real clear indication as such of what happened with most of the characters. And some of the designs, like were a little disconnecting, I guess, is the word at first. Like, when you first run into these guys called the Kunari, who you had a Kunari in your party in the original game, this guy named Stan, who was this big, gray-skinned, burly, you know, just more...
Idiot who you never really used.
Yeah, a morose bastard who was just too grim and too serious to really be entertaining, so you often never carried him in your party. But when you run into a Kunari in Dragon Age 2, they've become these awesome, like, really kick-ass designs. They've all got giant horns. They all... You know, they're almost, I dare say, almost a replacement for the Darkspawn, but they do have considerably more of a purpose. They're not, you know, just some faceless engine of destruction. They are a fully fleshed out race now in the Dragon Age universe, and some of the interactions you have with that group in particular, especially in Act 2, is extremely cool stuff. You know, like, it's just the way the entire game is structured, yeah. The way it all comes together.
Dragon Age now has its dark elves.
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess, yeah, sort of. But, you know, instead of being namby-pamby, pansy, emo-dressed, dark-skinned, white-haired people with pet cats, they're gigantic, 7-foot tall.
They're Viggo from Ghostbusters.
Yeah, you know, they're brutal killing machines.
Yeah.
And, you know, with Klingon society as their model. So, I mean, that aspect of the game, like the storytelling, it does really hit its stride, it does take off, but it is a considerably more muddled and a considerably more mature effort than Origins was, you know? Like, instead of aping all those fantasy novels that the BioWare guys obviously grew up reading in the 80s, this one is kind of really starting to forge its own path. And, yeah. I mean, they took risks. I definitely think they took risks. I definitely don't think they panned out as well as they did with Mass Effect 2 in terms of the streamlining and stuff, but they still paid off. They did still make a fantastic game, and I mean
they made a solid 4 out of 5 there.
Yeah, they did, and
it's really not fair to compare every product that comes out of BioWare to Mass Effect and Dragon Age.
No, and on top of that, people expect a certain pedigree. And
yeah.
Dragon Age 2 lives up to that pedigree and then some. You know, it is a fantastic effort. And,
yeah.
You know, all these people who are, you know, talking about the fall of BioWare, it's all hyperbole. You people are full of shit. You know, this is a fantastic RPG effort. It is better than 98% of the Western-style RPGs on either console or PC. It's still very much a BioWare game, even if the first 10 minutes it doesn't feel like it. But once it kicks in, once it gets rolling, there is no doubt in your mind that you are playing an awesome BioWare game, you know?
And in my review for it, man, I call it BioWare, and I can't even really say arguably, they are the crown ruler of RPGs developed in North America.
Well, I mean, they might be able to contest the crown with Bethesda, you know?
Aren't Bethesda an English company?
No, they're in New England, I believe, or Washington.
Oh, jeez, okay, well, I'm going to throw that arguably back in there.
Mm.
I was under the... under the idea that Bethesda were British-based.
Yeah, no, they're out of Washington.
Well, there you go. And you know what? It was better than Final Fantasy 13.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, man.
100 times better.
But, I mean, you're looking at awesome game with a slow start versus mediocre game with a decent finale. You know?
It's like, okay, guys, you know, you wanted to make an interesting female character, and you took Cloud from Final Fantasy 7 and gave him boobs and pink hair.
Yeah.
You know, my girl I made in Dragon Age 2 was Sigourney Weaver with a blood stripe painted across her nose.
It's, and I mean, again, like I said, I cannot get over the hate and the mixed reviews this game is getting, more from the community than from the press, because the press are all basically considering it a superior product to the original.
And you know, those guys who flipped out when one of the reviews up on Metacritic... was
happened to be written by an engineer who works for BioWare.
Yeah, never. This isn't even. Not even considering that Metacritic is hardly the paragon of virtue when it comes to, you know, reviews.
Yeah,
right?
And beyond that, and this is the only thing I'm going to say about that whole scandal. You're looking at one man in a team of anywhere from 150 to 200 people who probably didn't even get a chance to see the finished product until it shipped to retail. And,
yeah,
you know, just the fact that his name is in the credits for that game. I mean, if it were me, I'd be no different. I'd be, if my name were to appear in the credits of Dragon Age 2, I'd be immensely proud of that accomplishment.
Yeah.
You know, that it is a damn fantastic game, and it is one of the best so far in 2011. I know it's only early in the year, we're only into month 3, but it's already, you know, definitely
a
contender.
But we'd have a bang-up year so far.
Yeah, exactly. It is already definitely a contender for me, and, you know, I am very close to the end game now. I know, like, it's within sight. I feel all the pieces falling into place, and I am not the least bit disappointed, and in truth, really, my expectations were dashed. That, you know, it's a better game than I expected it to be based on the demo.
Yeah, that demo was a crushing disappointment.
It was, you know, and I mean, I understand it was put together to sell the game, and it was a few months old and whatever else, but, you know, it's basically all the demo did was show you the combat system. It just gave you a taste of the combat, of the new combat system.
And it was just a taste of the combat system.
Exactly.
You know, it was against the grunts where you're at the point in the game where you can get away with mashing that attack button.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not even when you're up against the guys when, you know, you got to throw a bit of strategy in your
mix. It is really a game. I mean, people were afraid it would be a button masher, or some people complained that it was a button masher. But no, you really do have to rely on special maneuvers. You do have to rely on managing potion use and how your other...
It's still got that Baldur's Gate feel to the combat.
It does, yeah, it does. It is still very identifiable as Dragon Age, and it is still an incredibly awesome game. For me, like I said so far, I'd probably even say, you know, I'd almost go 5 out of 5, depending on how the end game unfolds. If I'm satisfied with the ending, it's a 5 out of 5 for me. You know, it's a game that I put everything else on the back burner to play through. So, you know. Of course, I did also dig into Crysis 2.
Woo!
And,
it's been a good couple months for first-person shooters.
And it has been, I must say, after Killzone 3 and now Crysis 2. And I gotta say, to me, you know, this one is very much like Killzone 3. It kind of forges its own path. There's no imitation there. There's no, you know, it doesn't hearken at all to Halo or Call of Duty or anything like this. You know, like, basically, until now, there have been two camps of first-person shooters. You've had your Halos, and you've had your Call of Duties. I mean, in truth, as much as I love Killzone, I recognize it as a niche. I recognize that it doesn't have the same clout that Halo or Call of Duty has. Crysis belongs right up there with it. Crysis should be, you know, it should be now a 3-tier system. You should have your Halos, your Call of Duties, and your Crysis. Because the game is just that freaking good.
Yeah, I got to eat a plate full of crow here now. I called the first Crysis a tech demo.
And, in some regards it was, but in other regards, I mean, there was some good game design there. There was some solid stealth-based game design, but my problem with the
original... But I was standing on the hilltops crying out, Crytek ain't shit! The Cry engine ain't shit! You can't even get it to run! Will it run? No!
Nah,
my computer started to chug when Fear came out. So, I stopped playing PC games.
Yeah, I understand. I mean, this is another thing. In anticipation of Crysis 2, I had recently picked up a new video card and upgraded
my... I had recently come across some dilithium crystals to power my...
No, I recently came
to
across...
power my self-aware computer.
I'd recently stumbled onto a new video card powered by the Eldritch Powers of the Dark One. So, you know, I fired that into my machine. I invoked our Dark Lord and Master. And
yeah, I hope you didn't ask how it works.
And I reinstalled the original Crysis just in anticipation of the second. And when I did the auto-configure, I was shocked and appalled that my computer ranked it to very high settings. So I started playing, and... Man, the original Crysis, you know, I mean, I did play it back when it was first released. I played it, I think my machine at the time could run it on medium, which is, I think, pretty much where everybody was. And, I mean, I liked it, but after the original Far Cry, it didn't seem like enough of a deviation to me. Like, it seemed like, you know, pretty much more of the same.
Yeah, tropical setting.
Yeah, and, like, you know, like the kind of playing cat and mouse on a tropical island, that kind of, like, it really did have the same basic vibe as the original Far Cry. But damn, it's still a pretty nice looking game. And Crysis 2, what blew me away about Crysis 2 is even on console, like even on PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, it's even nicer again.
Yeah.
You know, I was blown away the first time, right from that opening scene in the sub, man, where everything just goes to hell. I was just like, okay, this game is amazing. This game is awesome. You know, and then you get out into New York and you get into that first little area where you're kind of sneaking around the park and stuff. And I was just like, man, this game is phenomenal. This game is absolutely amazing. Just being able to turn on my cloak, gun like a sprint run, do a power leap over like a few obstacles, land smack dab in the middle of a group of guys, and just open up full auto before they even can react to the noise they just heard. It makes you feel so goddamn awesome.
And I'm a sucker for games that give you a powered suit.
Yeah, and just the way they use it.
Me and Vanquish, me and Crysis 2, maybe I've got some like primordial deep desire to be Iron Man. it's just, you know, it's balanced perfectly. You don't get to spam the powers without
and the other thing,
the suit.
What's really cool about it is, yes, they give you these powers and stuff, and how many of these first-person shooters give you powers and abilities and stuff, but they're not really mandatory. They're kind of there as bells and whistles, or as, you know, like a little feature tick on the back of the box. Whereas with Crysis, the abilities are core. They are paramount to the gameplay. Like, without using these abilities, you are dead in the water. Like, there's no point in even picking up the controller, you know?
And it's, what I even like more is once the Seth, I believe they're called?
Something like that, yeah.
Once they come into it,
Andrews.
The Andrews.
The Andrews.
Yeah, the Bryants.
Tims.
Once they come into it, it almost kind of harkens back to the first game. You got to start playing cat and mouse with these guys.
Yeah.
You've got to become the predator if you want more of those shinies for your suit.
Exactly, exactly. And it's, you know, it's just so goddamn beautiful.
Yeah.
It is a gorgeous game. The destruction is...
I could not believe, not even the destruction, I could not believe the light.
It is a phenomenal looking game. I mean, yes, people are calling it the best looking console game ever. I think that's a little bit, you know, I think that goes into the hyperbole a little bit, you know. It's kind of batting terms like that around. You know, you got to kind of factor more than just technical prettiness. You got to kind of factor art design. You got to kind of factor... There's a lot more stuff to consider before you start going throwing around titles like prettiest console game of all time. And
yeah.
I don't know if it's quite what I would call the prettiest console game of all time, but it is definitely upper tier. I mean, it does belong right next to, you know, Killzone 2, Killzone 3, Uncharted 2. You know, it is a gorgeous looking game, but I shudder to think at what Crytek could have done with that engine if it were specific to one console, if they didn't have multi-platform in mind.
Yeah.
Like, damn, the mind reels, you know?
Well, I think the reason they split it across three consoles is to avoid opening a rift to another dimension and releasing some
Eldritch
demon.
Horror.
Yeah.
Nyarlathotep or something.
Some leviathanic, like, all demon.
Some demigod.
Yeah.
From like, oh, well, I mean, you know, yeah, I guess if they had just taken, you know, say, for argument's sake, the PlayStation 3 and dedicated the entirety of their resources to cracking that machine wide open, they would have basically opened up a portal and Gozer the Gozerian would have came out and laid waste to mankind.
Yeah. But only after Crytek chose the form of the Destructor.
Yeah.
Which would be the guy from Far Cry. It'd be a 100-foot-tall man. It'd be a 100-foot-tall Jack
in a Hawaiian shirt.
In a Hawaiian shirt.
Would he be played by Leif Schreiber?
No. Who was it played him? German fella.
Or Till Schweiger. Yeah, sorry.
Till Schweiger. He wouldn't be played by him. And he'd be going around with a gun in one hand and a 2-liter of orange soda in the other.
I have to wonder if the guys at Crytek have actually seen the movie.
Probably not.
I know Far Cry is more the domain of Ubisoft, but, you know,
yeah.
Still it would be interesting. But, yeah, no, like, I mean, Crysis 2, two huge thumbs up, 5 out of 5 for sure. I mean, just 2 weeks or 3 weeks after Killzone 3 to get another shooter that's as good,
make it a little better. And you want to know something really impressive to me? You made that crack earlier about the playtime of Homefront's main campaign. Crysis 2, not only does it give you a muscular multiplayer.
Yeah, a very, very fun multiplayer, I might add.
Yeah, you're looking at a 10 to 12 hour main campaign.
Woo!
That doesn't seem to be getting boring.
Yeah, you know, like, I just... I'm immensely pleased with the game. And
every 10 to 20 minutes, you're getting a set piece.
The review scores kind of factor into it, too. And I always say this, like, I think the whole paradigm shift to multiplayer in first and third person shooters versus the fact that whenever a first or third person shooter is reviewed, the thing they always focus on is the single player game.
Yeah.
It's still just so goddamn sideways. You know, like, I still think they're doing it ass backwards. I mean, at least, like, you look at the review scores for Crysis, and all anyone talks about is the single-player campaign, and the review scores have been phenomenal. They've been really, really great scores. Then you look at Homefront, which has a four-hour single-player campaign, and look at the review scores. However, pretty much every review I've read of Homefront trumpets the multiplayer as being something really cool. Which yeah. Which kind of leads me into my last game. I did sit down and spend a few hours with Homefront.
Red Dawn 2.
It's not even close.
No.
No, it's not horrible. And I mean, for someone like me who does like to just have a first-person shooter on hand when he's not vanquishing orcs or, you know, cyberpunking his way through an RPG, like, I do like to just have a shooter for my mindless nights, you know, when I don't want to race fast cars, I'll generally shoot Nazis. But
and it's fun.
As far as they're
evil, they got it coming.
Exactly. As far as like technical gameplay goes, there's really nothing wrong with Homefront. Homefront is a solid, mechanically speaking, first person shooter. However, everything else is a mess. You know, like, the storyline had all this promise, had some really cool ideas, starts off really strong, devolves into clearing room after room of bad guy. There's not really anything monumental or earth-shattering. The model is basically carbon-copied from Modern Warfare 2 or from World at War or from Black Ops. The single-player campaign is dull. Duller than dishwater.
Played it before.
All of this impact of, oh my god, but you're fighting in your backyard. You know, it's like, no, you're not. You're not fighting in my backyard. You're fighting in some Midwestern American town, and all this emotional impact that I got.
North Koreans wouldn't survive in your backyard.
No, well, I mean, North
America. Drop the drop in temperature.
Yeah.
Shock to the system.
They wouldn't know what to do. But, yeah, I don't know. It's just, it doesn't.
Oh, man, there's cat shit all over the place.
No, it doesn't really take full advantage of the premise. Like, I mean, you know, what worked so great about Red Dawn was you kind of get that passage of time and you kind of get the impact of the invasion and stuff like this. You know, you see how it affected the kids, how some of them got cold and cynical and all of that stuff. And I mean, yeah, it's a little cheesy these days, but it was still a fun movie. And it's still, you know, like, Milius did a good job on Red Dawn. But with Homefront, the premise is there, but the execution is... Milius's name, that was a paycheck. He was attached... His name was attached to that just simply as an endorsement deal. You know, just like, hey, John Milius wrote our game, buy a copy. Okay, that adds us an extra, you know, 120 or 150,000 copies sold. Because how many people who play video games actually know who John Milius is? You know? But, I don't know, it just feels cheap and tacked on. It doesn't really feel like he had any actual involvement whatsoever beyond, hey, I got an idea, make a video game where North Koreans invade the United States. You know?
I am hoping, though, this opens the floodgates and eventually we get first-person shooters written by Paul Verhoeven. Or directed by Walter Hill.
Yeah, there we go.
Which case you shoot someone and, like, 16 pints of blood fly out of their back.
That'd be all right. I could get behind something like that. Yeah. But no, it was just, you know, missed opportunities all around. The multiplayer, however, like all the reviews say, was pretty cool. The multiplayer was kind of neat. It was an original concept, and I go back to Chaos Studios, the guys who did Homefront. I mean, there's been a lot of stories floating around about how the production was trouble. They were having problems getting the game up to scratch. And I can very easily see it because it is not a pretty-looking game. It is not a particularly nice-looking game. You know, Chaos Studios only has one other retail product under their belt, which was Frontline Fields of War, which was kind of an obscure first-person shooter that came out for 360, what, 3 years ago, 4 years ago?
Yeah. But, oh, that was the one I was calling. What was it? A wartime War of War?
Yeah, something like that.
But every game at that point had a subtitle of war.
Yeah, and a nuclear explosion.
Yeah.
However, Frontline's nuclear explosion was actually really cool, and that game actually ages a little better than what Homefront is. So I don't know. Like, it just, I think Homefront, the single player campaign, they tried way too hard to emulate Call of Duty, and they just didn't really have a whole lot of substance to shoehorn in there, so it just kind of fell flat. I mean, it's not a horrible game. It's far from horrible. It's a competent, you know, playable enough first-person shooter, but don't go paying $59.99 for this game. Wait for it to go cheap. Wait for a $29.99 or a $39.99 price tag if you really need to have a first-person shooter that isn't Call of Duty, Killzone 3, or Crysis 2. Oh, and for the love of God, do not buy the PlayStation 3 version. It's ugly as sin.
And if we find out you bought the PlayStation 3 version instead of Crysis 2?
Then we're sending John Milius to your house.
Yeah.
I got him on speed dial right
with
now.
With a big Magnum, a jack, and a gun.
Exactly. That's what we're doing. I think that's about it for what I've been playing. I don't think I've got anything else. Crysis 2, Dragon Age 2, and Homefront. Yeah. I've had a busy few weeks. Moving right along. Let's get into our news. Let's.
That'll be much better when we get
pandemonium everywhere.
That'll be much better when we get music.
So I do the news in excited 1940s radio announcer voice, or just do it au naturel?
Just do it naturally.
Okay.
Okay, because when you're doing the 40s voice, all I can picture is guys getting punched in the face. Like those really awkward old movie bear fights where they speed everything up and there's always like a table smashed or a barrel smashed over someone.
Okay. Hot off the press, Resident Evil Code Veronica and Resident Evil 4 are getting HD remakes for PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360. Hooray! I guess.
Well, it's reasonably exciting. You don't have to play Resident Evil 5 now to play Resident Evil.
Oh, the humanity!
Stop that.
The Microsoft Zune. 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 Is dead. Cast your Zune into the fire. You win this round, Apple, but the war rages on. The Torchlight MMO will not be subscription-based. Somewhere, a poor nerd is weeping tears of joy.
Why are they making an MMO out of Torchlight?
I think Torchlight was always supposed to be an MMO. And they just kind of did the whole Diablo...
Ran out of money.
Yeah, so they did the whole Diablo clone thing. PSM UK says we may see not one, but two announcements from Kojima Productions at E3 this year. One of which just might be Metal Gear Solid 5. Isn't it a little early for E3 rumors? Really? Like, why set us up for colossal disappointment over 3 months ahead of time? Why would you do that? Why? Listen, PSM UK.
Now we get to listen to 3 months of people saying, I hope the other one is only 3.
Oh, mercy.
I hope the other one is Boktai 3.
Oh, good lord. No, the Zoe 3 was definitely better. As much as I'd love to see a third Zone of the Enders, man, give it up. It's not going to happen. Meanwhile, E3 comes and we do see Zone of the Enders 3. Hell, I will eat crow on that one. Crow is kind of tasty. It tastes like chicken. George Hotz, Geo Hotz, egomaniacal hacker extraordinaire and jailbreaker of all things iPod and PS3, has fled the United States for the warmer climes of South America. What? The
Republic of Valverde?
The hell? Also,
the Republic of Valverde?
Maybe he, I don't know. Okay, last I heard, Sony had gotten his PayPal records, and then they were given permission to sequester a neutral company, like a third party, a neutral third party, to acquire his hard drives and all his data. And apparently there was information that was freshly deleted, so obviously incriminating evidence. So when they go back to looking for this, you know, personal data or incriminating evidence, He leaves for South America. Who goes to South America? Like, really? Like,
people get kidnapped in South America.
I don't understand. Like, wow. This is going to make an awesome movie someday.
Yeah, unfortunately, he's going to be the good guy.
Also, contrary to his personal testimony, he does, in fact, have a PSN account. Shock! Oh my god! How could he have hacked the PlayStation 3 without a PSN account? I don't understand. This is the shit is bananas.
I'm not even taking a stand on this.
Okay, now that he's in a less namby-pamby region, he has effectively closed himself off from ongoing litigation. But he's left himself wide open for a black bag Latin American corporate hit squad.
You don't want to be messing with ass technology.
Good riddance. That's all I got to say. Have fun in South America, geohots. Like, next time you want to kill someone's hobby to stroke your own goddamn ego, maybe, like, try swallowing a gun instead and doing us all a favor, you douchebag.
There we go.
That bitter pill out of the way. EA Los Angeles, working on third-person shooter with strong multiplayer focus. No, 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 no! In other news, Starbucks is brewing coffee. David Cage of Quantic Dream, guys who made Heavy Rain.
Okay, how does that guy have such a French-sounding accent with that name?
David Cage, maybe, I don't know. He says, Sony has the best console and studios in the world.
Sony has the best console and studios in the world.
In the world. John Carmack of id Software agrees. Unless you factor in the Xbox 360, the war goes on.
Come on, John. Don't be a douche.
Come on, David. Don't be a douche.
Douche. John's just seeing if Dave's going to surrender.
Or is it Jean Carmack? He tell me I am the wrong.
You know, you got two you got one studio brought us Heavy Rain and Fahrenheit or Indigo Prophecy, whatever you want to call it, and the other guy brought us Doom and the very muscular looking Rage.
Rage. Modern Warfare 2 anti-hack patch seems to be super effective. About freaking time, guys. Way to get on that.
That's probably why Geohots left the country.
He can't hack Modern Warfare 2 anymore. Oh, that's shucks. Right. He's gone down to enlist in some Colombian militia. So he can... What does they call it? Quickscope people for real. For real.
Aimbot.
Yeah. Battlefield 3 getting smaller multiplayer maps on PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360. So not only will the player base be limited to, I think it's 24 players instead of 64, but our maps will be smaller. Battlefield 3 on PS3 and Xbox 360 will also be played by about 300% more people than it will be on PC.
That's true.
This is a universal truth. Final Fantasy XI and XIV servers taken down in the wake of the epic-level earthquake-tsunami hybrid that hit Japan a little over a week ago will be up and running again this Friday, so all 17 of you can get back to your avatars and grinding. Honestly, did anybody even realize they were down? I kind of did, I guess. I did try to log into Final Fantasy XIV, like... The date.
Well, I didn't realize it was down. I just came to my senses and went and picked something worthwhile.
Yeah, I just you know, went back to Dragon Age.
Oh God, I meant to click on Google Chrome. Oh, that was a close one.
Phew! I could have sworn I heard the Final Fantasy Crystal theme for a second there. Forza Motorsports 4 won't make people vomit. That's good. Of course.
They're selling Forza Motorsports 4. Are they going to call it FOU Urza?
Oh! Of course, having to look at that god-awful Kinect sensor sitting there watching, or the thought of why you spent $150 on a piece of shit, might make you vomit.
C- Kinnick should be at least have Kevin Spacey's voice in that from Moon.
What's wrong?
I'm not supposed to let you outside.
I don't know. I can't elaborate any further on my intense loathing of that particular device.
Oh, come on, I know your daughters love it.
They've played maybe a grand total of 20 minutes since Christmas.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's just not that impressive.
And maybe they just go back to Cars and Viva Pinata.
You should have never introduced them to video games. They're girls.
Hey, they play Lego Indiana Jones, okay?
Do they play it as much as they play Cars and Viva Pinata?
Actually, I think Lego Indiana Jones for a little while kind of took the cake for like about 3 weeks. It was all they played.
But then, like all the Lego games, it ended after 2 hours.
Well, no, Abby was always indie, and Sammy was always screaming lady.
Okay.
And I couldn't be more proud than I was the day Abby caught the first probably half hour or so of Raiders of the Lost Ark and was like, Daddy, this part's in my game!
See, I can't be at the proud parent stage yet. It's like, my son poops.
My son poops, and it is not green anymore. No. It stinks a lot more, though.
It has texture. He has attained... Achievement unlocked. He has attained bleep, texture.
Bleep, bloop. Texture achieved. Oh. Last but certainly not least, Nintendo's hot new 3D-powered dual-screen monstrosity portable hits retail this Sunday. The only way Steve could be less interested would be if he didn't have a pulse. It's coming very soon. I can almost taste Ridge Racer 3DS.
Dude, like, you look at the stuff that's come out, and the highest rated game so far is one I've been playing for 2 years.
Really? Oh, yeah, Street Fighter 4, yeah, that's right.
Street Fighter 4. Now, I can play it on my 3DS, or I can play it on my, 50-inch television with moving backgrounds.
How about
online with a controller.
How about Steel Diver?
Oh, God.
Sounds like a game where you play as, like, an underwater welder.
Pilot Wings. Are you honestly excited for Pilot Wings? I wasn't excited for Pilot... The Super Nintendo came out when I was 9 years old. I wasn't excited for Pilot Wings at age 9, I had a choice between Mario World, F-Zero, and Pilot Wings. Guess which one was third on that list?
Guess which game was always left on the shelf at the rental store every weekend outside of Super Defense Force?
Well, why do you gotta hate on Super EDF?
Because it never rented. Okay, Super EDF, Pit Fighter, sorry Dave, and Pilot Wings. If you didn't get to the rental place early enough on Friday night, you were going to be stuck with goddamn Pilot Wings for the entire weekend.
That's not even worth it.
That's a fate worse than death.
It's not even worth it. It's like, I'm going outside this weekend.
Screw video games, man. I'm going to go play some street hockey.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe, like, obesity got to be a big problem in Japan, and Nintendo made Pilot Wings to combat it.
Or maybe they were running low on pilots and... We're hoping to inspire people.
Yeah, I guarantee Al-Qaeda is not using this game as a training device.
Oh, I wouldn't imagine.
Taking drills for everyone!
Yeah, I can't. There's this whole... I have this incredible sense of foreboding that in 2 or 3 years' time, we're going to be looking back on the 3DS the same way we look back on the Virtual Boy. When this whole 3D fad has died a horrible, merciless death, and the very utterance or connection of the word 3D to something invokes,
Rex's response. What are you talking about? It's not the 90s anymore. Nintendo got the retro market now. These people, these people can't afford to buy the 3DS.
I don't know.
$250?
Yeah, well, they're releasing it right around Easter, so all the spoiled little school kids can get it.
Dude, that costs as much as an Xbox 360.
It's more than an Xbox 360.
Yeah, I suppose, you get the retard Xbox 360 with no hard drive in it.
Come on, John, now, that's just insensitive.
What, the making fun of little hard drives or using the word retard.
Yeah, both. Both of those are insensitive.
So we're not getting a humanitist this week.
No.
But yeah, man, I see people online who they think they're excited for the 3DS, and these people are going to be very upset when they go home with a much lighter wallet.
Yeah, and
games that you can play and games you can play for 15 minutes.
And Ridge Racer.
And Ridge Racer.
Because that's the only game anyone's going to have left is Ridge Racer, because no one is going to buy Ridge Racer other than the poor bastards who don't get to the store at opening, like in the opening 10 minutes.
You tell me people are still going to buy Pilot Wings?
Well, if your only choice is between Pilot Wings and Ridge Racer.
I'd take Ridge Racer.
Really? Okay, yeah, fair enough. Maybe I would too.
We got to keep up tradition here. Pilot Wings must be left on the shelf.
Exactly. Yeah, there is a status quo to maintain. Most definitely.
That would be most good.
I had a question for this evening and I totally lost it. It's gone.
Wow.
I'm drawing a blank.
We can talk more about Crysis.
Crysis is awesome.
Bridges fall over, buildings collapse, on top of aliens, 2 feet away from you. When are we getting Deus Ex? Is that the summer?
There's good news and bad news about Deus Ex.
Okay, go ahead. I can take it.
The good news is it's coming out on my birthday.
Yeah?
The bad news is my birthday is not until the end of August.
Oh. Well, we're having a good year for first-person shooters.
We are. We really are. I'm immensely looking forward to Deus Ex. There's a new gameplay video out there that shows, like, three different paths to get through one little small specific part of the game.
Yeah.
And it was extremely cool. It was extremely cool.
Yeah, does he break out the cybernetic craziness?
Oh, does he ever.
Yeah,
There's not enough
cyberpunk out there.
No.
There's not near enough cyberpunk.
I agree. The last time we got a really true what cyberpunk game was Shadowrun on the Xbox.
Don't even start me on that. I can remember before that game came out, it looks like Microsoft are going to be announcing Shadowrun. I'm like, awesome. I was totally expecting something in the vein of Knights of the Old Republic.
So was everybody, and I think that's part of the problem.
And what did they give us? Tribes? Counter-Strike?
I do have something of a soft spot for it, because I do like how they treated the setting. And you know what? For all intents and purposes, as far as being a first-person shooter, multiplayer-based goes, it was a pretty damn fun game to play.
Dude, that's just... To me, it was squandered potential. You had a license that was...
Oh, for sure. For sure.
That gave you room to do basically anything.
For sure.
Anything, and you chose a multiplayer-only first-person shooter.
I agree. That is, you know...
Yeah.
That is a bit of a foolish maneuver on Microsoft's part, for sure.
Yeah, anyone listening to this who doesn't know what Shadowrun is, go Wikipedia it. Wiki magic, go do it. And, you know, if you don't think it's possible to make an awesome video game out of the concept right there, punch yourself in the mouth.
It was one of my three favorite games on Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
Alongside Chrono Trigger and Super Metroid.
I'm gonna sound like, you know, the Dork Knight right now, the Dork Avenger, super nerd. It's my favorite pen and paper game.
It is.
My father's going to be listening to Mom listening to this as soon as he hears that. It's my favorite pen and paper game. I have no son!
Oh, no. It's a bad thing.
My son is a devil worshiper. The Tom Hanks movie told me so.
Oh, man. Well, on that note, considering...
I'm going to go see if that's on Netflix right now.
I have to go check Netflix for Mazes and Monsters. I may pair it with a showing of Footloose, so you know we have satanic dancing and satanic role-playing.
There is no more dancing in the town of Footloose. By holy decree!
Holy decree!
What is the only thing that could stand up to the Catholic Church? Kevin Bacon.
Kevin Bacon in a white t-shirt.
With David Bowie hair.
And tight jeans.
The tightest jeans. There are no tighter.
Spray painted on jeans. Kevin Bacon did that whole movie naked. He just had denim paint on his legs.
That was probably...
Why the hell are we talking about Footloose?
That was the longest experience of Rob Bottin's life.
Here we go.
Applying latex pants to Kevin Bacon.
Here we go. Awesome 80s movies that would make for even more awesome current generation video games.
Oh,
go.
Wow. Oh, dude. If I take Streets of Fire, are you going to be upset?
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Even though that was the first thing that came to my mind. Go ahead.
Actually, you know what? No, I'm not going to go with Streets of Fire.
Fine, I'll go Streets of Fire.
Okay, because... Well, basically, they already did Streets of Fire's game, man. It's called Final Fight.
Bah!
But...
there was no awesome freaking Rob Steinman soundtrack in... Or John
Jim,
soundtrack,
Jim Steinman!
Jim Steinman soundtrack in Final Fight.
No, there wasn't.
And
still had
no awesome soundtrack. Diane Lane, and you didn't have Bill Paxton with the craziest pompadour I've ever seen in my life. Or, of course, Willem Dafoe and his hair.
Okay, I'm going to say this because they tried it and failed already. I would love to see somebody take Lethal Weapon now that we've had Army of Two.
Ooh.
And give you a sweet-ass co-op buddy cop adventure.
Inspired. Very inspired.
Because I can totally see Riggs and Murtaugh going back-to-back.
Yeah.
Right?
Back-to-back, Riggs!
The shit works!
Back-to-back, Riggs! Riggs! Hey, Riggs!
And whenever a stage ends, whenever it gets, like, stage complete, you just hear Murtaugh go, yeah. And the saxophone start to play.
You got off easy, son of a bitch.
Bitch. And, you know, they could have, like, you could have, there's all sorts of gameplay conventions. You could have, like, carnage meters fill up so Riggs gets to unleash the kung fu
yeah.
for in-close attacks. And when Raj pulls it up, I mean, you can, like, use his neck crack shot to do, like, some super aim with his handgun and blow a guy's brains out from across the level.
Yeah, you know, and then you get your achievement unlocked. Bloop, bloop, one shot, one kill. You know?
No, bloop, bloop, no way you live.
No way.
No way. Decaffeinated.
Decaffeinated. Oh, that would be fantastic. I would totally play this game. Of course, they'd have to come up with a plot, and they'd have to set it in, like...
Well, Shane Black works again.
Well, there you go, yeah. When Shane Black's not busy with Iron Man 3, we can get him to write a new Lethal Weapon adventure. Have it set in, like, the late 80s or early 90s, because that's...
Yeah, Michael Kamen is unfortunately dead,
yeah.
But Alan Silvestri is alive.
Alan Silvestri's still around. Eric Clapton is... I don't think Eric Clapton's dead yet.
Eric Clapton's alive. I do believe David Sanborn's dead, though.
He was
the saxophone player.
Sadness.
But hey, man, there's saxophone players out there. if anything, you know, just take the score from the second movie.
Yeah, just use that. That works. That works for me.
Well, it'd be an awesome car chase sequence, man. Like in Wet, less car jumping, more Lethal Weapon chase music.
There you go. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Yeah, I think it could be done. I think Lethal Weapon could make an awesome video game.
Yeah.
You know what I think would be great?
What?
Take, you know, to beat 'em up, the brawler mechanic, you know, that whole, not so much side-scroller, but just the general, you know, the 3D brawler or the 2D brawler. And
yeah.
Take all the different street gangs from the Warriors and do a Warriors fighting game, you know, like a brawler. Wait a minute.
Warriors wasn't the 80s, douche.
It was also done twice already.
Douche.
No, I am. Streets of Fire. Streets of Fire would be amazing. Just, you know.
Your soundtrack would have to be all Jim Steinman.
Jim Steinman music, and there had to be, like, you know, Rock Band style mini games.
Yeah.
Because it is a rock and roll fable, after all.
Well, yeah, you get in the bar, and Bill Paxton jumps up with his axe and starts to play.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, it'd have to be. I don't know. I guess, you know, again, third-person shooter mechanics would probably work just fine. I'd almost go, like, you know, open world or something. Have him, you know, Tom Cody roll back into town on the train and start taking...
Fallout 3 sent on streets.
Yeah, you know. Or even, like, a Grand Theft Auto-esque, you know, type of game where you're...
The only problem is he only has one gun. You only need that Winchester rifle.
Well, yeah, what? That's fine. I could do with that. He also gets to get into all kinds of cool bar fights and use hat racks to demolish people. You know? And slap people a lot.
And tell people you rich guys think we're all the same.
Yeah. It could work. Maybe not. Maybe there's not enough substance there for a video game. I don't know. Lethal Weapon is just too inspired a choice. You just totally derailed me, see?
I did.
Yeah, it's just too awesome. How about Dreamscape?
Oh, dude, don't.
Dennis Quaid's Dreamscape. The game. You could have some of those levels, like, you know, like in Uncharted 2 when you're running away from the truck.
Only you're running away from nuclear
explosion. Nuclear explosion, yeah.
No!
You're constantly screaming no.
Yeah. You know what would make an awesome game, though?
What's that?
If you're looking at those 80s stuff like that? Trancers.
Oh, God. You just basically...
Was hardware in the 80s?
Hardware was early 90s, I believe.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how good of a game hardware would be. Okay, I'm sticking with Streets of Fire. Streets of Fire, damn it.
You can have your Streets of Fire. I'll keep my Lethal Weapon.
Yeah, Lethal Weapon is definitely inspired. Lethal Weapon is definitely a damn good choice.
I'm telling you, man, you play that like Army of Two.
How about the Goonies?
Already been done.
Yeah, but how about a modern take on it? Well, Lethal Weapon has already been done too, you bastard.
By Ocean, no less.
Yeah, remember the part in Lethal Weapon 3 when Mel Gibson fought a shark?
He did that in Lethal Weapon 4.
Yeah, but that was after the game, fool.
Well, somebody said they made a game about it and had a rad level where you fought a shark. I think that's where Mel Gibson's descent into madness began.
Lethal Weapon 4?
Yeah. No, Lethal Weapon, the video game.
Oh, right. Okay. Right on.
Said, hey, Mel, they made a game about you. And he starts drinking.
Look at that digitized picture of you. I really look that fat. Glug, glug, glug.
My hair is ridiculous. That's what he called his hair.
Yeah, really. After the
Ransom came out, and he didn't have that glorious mullet anymore. You know, Kurt Russell was the last hair standing.
Oh, man. Yeah, okay, the Goonies. Open world. Like, you know, look at the way Bull...
No, you know who knocked the Goonies out of the park?
Who's that?
Telltale Games. Awesome.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I mean, everything's better as a point-and-click adventure. Everything.
No, but I mean, Amblin, those stories, that's made for point-and-click adventures.
Yeah, that would be a pretty awesome point-and-click, you know, like puzzle-solving adventure game.
Yeah, if he had never gotten into the video game industry, Tim Schafer would have worked at Amblin.
I agree. They're definitely a solid fit for one another.
Yeah. I know we were talking a couple weeks about how that's what the original idea for Scott Pilgrim was.
Yeah.
He wanted to be soft in the mouth.
Yeah, I really wanted to punch Ubisoft in the mouth after I heard that.
Yeah, well, Telltale Games. And I mean, they just knocked it out of the park with Back to the Future.
They did a fantastic job. Really great.
Yeah.
No doubt.
And hell, the Goonies got even more story there.
there's a lot you could work with. I don't know. I think it could work as kind of like an open, you know, like get that whole area, the Goondocks or the Boondocks, whatever, you know, and a few of the caves and stuff like that. You could do some cool stuff there as like just an action adventure game.
There could be an achievement if you find One-Eyed Willy's treasure.
Exactly. You know.
I beat you,
One-Eyed Willy. Bleep bloop. And of course there's always Indiana Jones. You could just rip off Uncharted. Which has been done a million times already, but you know. Whatever. On that note,
was that Indiana Jones game for PS2 actually any good?
Which one?
Emperor's Tomb.
Emperor's Tomb was pretty fun, but it was ridiculously difficult. The second game, the Staff of Kings, was not so good.
Oh, okay.
But it was still an Indiana Jones game, and it had redeeming qualities.
You remember when we were supposed to get that crazy Indiana Jones game?
That was Staff of Kings, actually.
But the one when it was supposed to be for like PS3 and Xbox 360,
yeah.
That was beautiful?
That was Staff of Kings. It evolved into what became Force Unleashed.
It devolved into what was released on the Wii.
Yeah. It was basically like that was the prototype engine for Force Unleashed was originally applied to Staff of Kings.
Yeah, only instead of having the Force to throw TIE fighters around, you punch guys and they flew that hard.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And on that note, I might as well, we might as well call it an evening. I think we've entertained people long enough. I got some Crysis 2 to play. I got some Dragon Age 2 to finish.
I gotta go on Netflix and look for Mazes and Monsters.
John has to go watch Tom Hanks lose his mind to Dungeons and Dragons.
Well, I'm just gonna watch Dreamscape again.
I'm gonna go watch Streets of Fire again.
An inspired choice, sir.
Be sure to tune in next time when you'll hear John say. And I will also add, because I forgot, just plain and simple, hey, it's been 2 weeks. Cut me some slack, okay? You know, if you want to leave comments, feedback, you want to complain, feedback at pixelverdict.com.
They sent us back into the valley the next day, about 2,000 meters from Cambodia, into a battalion perimeter. Felt like we were returning to the scene of crime.
We've got our own little dedicated section in the jury room over there under blast processing, oddly enough. So, you know, if you want to leave some comments or some feedback or critique or questions or...
People do actually talk there.
They do. Yeah, people do actually talk there. You got any suggestions? You got any, you know, polite suggestions you want to send our way? You got an idea for our ambush question of the week you want to hear us ramble on about for 20 minutes or half an hour? Feel free, you know, send us a message, let us know, and we'll see what we can do. In the meantime, you know, be good, be safe, play some Crysis 2, avoid the outdoors. It's still cold this time of year.
Unless you got pilot wings.
Unless you have pilot wings, in which case, you know, hey, turn off the 3DS and go outside for a while. And until next time.